Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience in holding, and welcome to the Small Business Teletown Hall with Senator Wieckowski and Commissioner Ricardo Lara. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. If you should require assistance anytime during the conference call, please press star then zero. As a reminder, this call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the call over to your host, Senator Wieckowski. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for taking time out of your busy morning to join us today. I am Bob Wieckowski, and I represent the 10th Senate District in the California State Legislature. Today, we're going to hear from elected officials and representative agencies that specialize in providing resources to small businesses. I cannot express how difficult a time this has been for many, if not every single small business in California. But again, we are California. We'll get through this. And if we do it right, we can be even stronger on the other side than we were before the COVID-19 pandemic hit. So far, we've successfully flattened the COVID-19 curve. We need to keep it up. Now that we've flattened the curve, we also need to flatten that downward curve that is our budget and our economy. The legislature and the executive branch are up for the task. Thanks to a decade of responsible budgeting and sound fiscal management, California is now better prepared for this emergency than we would have ever been. The Senate passed their version of the budget, which is a kinder, gentler version. We must build on the foundation by taking bold action and making smart investments, even as difficult decisions lie ahead. The state's Employment Development Department, EDD, has already spent $8 billion in assistance to the unemployed and small businesses. My district office has been assisting hundreds of constituents, as well as fielding thousands of calls and emails inquiring about such programs. Now, the Senate proposed a $25 billion economic recovery fund that will go to where it's most needed, small businesses and workers, students and schools, public health and safety, and accelerating fire prevention and other infrastructure projects. We're on the verge of announcing another proposal for $15 billion over 3 years in transit and transportation and an ADU financing mechanism. When we make new investments in difficult times, they should be made through the lens of jobs, and other jobs. And that's what we'll be doing with the Economic Recovery Fund, creating reentry opportunities and helping people come out of the downturn with good middle-class jobs. And I know it's a cliche, we're all in this together, but really the state continues to work with the local municipalities, with the federal government, with our executive branch, and to ensure the constituents get the aid that they need. Now, I am delighted to introduce a good friend of mine, the 8th Insurance Commissioner of the State of California, Ricardo Lara. We were elected to the Assembly together in 2010. He moved over to the Senate to represent District 33 in 2012, and we served in the Senate until 2019, I guess January of 19, when he made history in 2018, becoming the first openly gay person elected to a statewide office in California's history. He is a proud San Diego State University graduate. I know that from firsthand experience, where he majored in Spanish and journalism and a minor in Chicano studies. So my good friend, wonderful to know that he's your insurance commissioner, Ricardo Lara. Ricardo, you're on.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Senator Wieckowski. It's great to hear your voice. I'm glad you're safe. And thank you to your staff for helping us coordinate this important discussion. And I miss you all. I miss you all in the Senate. I don't miss the situation you're in now. But thank you for just always being such a staunch advocate for our consumers. All the bills you've worked on and supported really are now bearing fruit as we're trying to protect consumers during this very, very extraordinary time. As we look ahead to getting our economy back on track, we have a lot of work to do to assist our small businesses and their workers as well. The new data continues to show unprecedented job losses in Alameda and Santa Clara counties. The Department of Insurance has been taking a number of steps to help small businesses. On April 13th, I ordered insurance companies to return a portion of premiums to businesses and drivers affected by COVID-19 for March and April. Stay-at-home orders and reduced losses have now continued, so So earlier this month, I extended this order to include May as well. My orders cover at least 6 lines of insurance where risk loss has fallen as a result of the pandemic. And, you know, you've heard and read about the private passenger automobile, for example, where folks should be getting their percentage of a discount or a reimbursement. But it also, for our business owners, includes commercial automobile insurance, workers' compensation insurance, commercial multi-peril insurance, commercial liability insurance, and medical malpractice insurance. We've seen elective surgeries been postponed, and this will help, our dentists, orthodontists, chiropractors, optometrists that we have in our community and play a vital role. With many businesses closed due to COVID-19, we know and I know that, you know, many business owners need relief from premiums that no longer reflect present-day risk of loss. By requiring insurance companies to return premiums as soon as possible, it really puts money back in your pockets and reduces your future cost when you need it the most. And as, you know, after speaking to many business owners, you know, this is critical. Every penny counts right now to be able to help to keep the doors open. Business owners don't have to do anything to receive the refund. The insurance companies must provide this relief as soon as possible. And this could be in the form of a premium credit, a reduction, return of premium, or an adjustment that gets funds back to you or reduces what you owe in the future. The amount you'll get back, as you can imagine, will vary by company and policy, and in many cases will be a percentage of your premiums for March, April, and May. You can also contact another tip that we're telling insurance business owners is you can also contact your insurance company and provide your actual or estimated change in payroll or business receipts and possibly qualify for an even larger discount. And this really builds upon the actions that I took last month to request insurance companies that at a minimum give a 60-day grace period for businesses to pay their insurance premiums. Many insurance companies have honored that request by offering flexibility to consumers and businesses during the national emergency. On May 15, I extended that grace period request until July because Californians continue to face unprecedented challenges due to the pandemic. And we've heard from many businesses that they're struggling to make ends meet. They're struggling to pay the bills, and giving them a 60-day reprieve of their insurance premium without having them lose their coverage is critical now more than ever. And the insurance companies have to be in this with us as we continue to, go day by day to figure out how we're going to continue to move forward. And, you know, the message we're sending to these insurance companies is, look, it behooves you to help and give businesses this reprieve, because what's going to happen in the long run is businesses will close and you will lose an actual client, as opposed to helping a business owner now and continue to have a relationship with that business. I also want to just pivot really quick to business interruption, which my department has also received a number of complaints regarding business interruption insurance. Many businesses have looked at their insurance policies for possible coverage. Each insurance policy is a legal contract between the business owner and the insurance company. And since early March, we have seen dozens of lawsuits around the country, obviously here, including in California, which concern the proper interpretation of these policies and whether such policies cover losses due to COVID-19. While these cases move through the courts, I have taken several steps to address business interruption. You know, we kept learning that some insurance companies are denying business interruption claims without a thorough investigation, or even discouraging businesses from even filing a claim, and that to me is simply unacceptable. So in response to that, on April 14th, I put a notice out to require insurance companies to comply with their contract and California law to fairly investigate every single business interruption claim caused by COVID, just as they would, by the way, any other disaster. My department will be watching to make sure that they do. Also, workers' compensation. We all, you know, saw on May 6th, Governor Newsom signed an executive order extending workers' compensation eligibility for workers. This order applies to any worker who tested positive or has been diagnosed with COVID-19 after the stay-at-home order was issued on March 19th, and it also is within 14 days of performing a labor or service at a place of work. This it's important for our business community to understand that this is a rebuttable presumption. And what does that mean? That means that employers will have a chance to prove that the illness is not work-related. The presumption will stay in place for 60 days from the date of the executive order. So there is an opportunity for business owners to rebut this issue if they feel that the worker did not contract COVID in the workplace. It is also important to note that, it's going to take some time as we hear from business owners who contact us. What is the impact of COVID-19 on our workers' compensation system? It's going to take us a while to figure that out. Businesses that are closed or have drastically reduced payrolls may see their workers' compensation insurance reduced in the short term. And, you know, my orders for premium rebates include workers' compensation insurance for that reason. Employers are, we're asking them to just be patient. We're continuing to monitor this. Last week, my department held a hearing to consider proposed emergency regulations, which would make changes intended to reflect the lower risk of worker injury in the light of the pandemic. And I will review those proposed regulations and determine whether they are consistent with my overall mandate to reduce premiums to reflect this current risk. And just quickly before I close, I want to urge all businesses to be on the lookout for fraud and insurance scams. And please help us report any suspicious activity to the Department of Insurance. Many people don't know that we have 300 sworn investigators and enforcement personnel with 9 regional offices throughout the state, including an office in Morgan Hill that services the Santa Clara County and our office in Benicia that serves Alameda County. Here are some points for small business owners and managers to keep in mind. Unfortunately, these extraordinary circumstances are an opportunity for people to be scammed. So I would just say be on alert for those offering bogus workers' compensation policies. Verify the legitimacy of the selling agent. You can verify the agent's license on our website and contact insurance company directly to verify the policy. Also, be on alert for fraudulent workers' compensation claims by employees that may occur as a result of a layoff that we are seeing. And please report any suspected insurance scams to our department. While we've transitioned the majority of our staff to telework to support the governor's stay-at-home directive, we continue to provide essential services for California consumers. Our insurance experts are available by phone. This is not a recording. You can talk to an actual person to help guide you, help give you information. If you have any questions related to your insurance product or your insurance policy, please call us at 1-800-927-4357. That's 1-800-927-4357. You can also send us an email at insurance.ca.gov to assist you with your claims or any information you might need. And just before, I know we have other panelists, I also have my Deputy Commissioner Tony Signorelli from our consumer branch on the line and Alex Stone from our legal branch to answer any questions. Thank you again, Senator Witkowski. I really appreciate your time and putting this together.
No, thank you for the encouragement and for the valuable information. Next, I'd like to introduce Margaret Jackson, who's the director of the Alameda County Small Business Development Center. Margaret Jackson's background includes over 30 years in the business and multimedia production industry. She's a respected Bay Area small business radio personality, a leader on the AM 1220 KDOW and the iHeart Radio Small Business Magazine publisher, and the director of the Alameda County Small Business Development Center. She's a producer, and she has a long list of extensive client credits. She's done special program guests that include NFL legend Jim Brown, recording artist Smokey Robinson, James Ingram, MC Hammer, Howard Hewitt, Yolanda Adams, and even me, Senator Bob Witkowski. She's, as an expert communicator and a confidence builder for business professionals and small business owners, her professional arsenal is vast. Please welcome Margaret Jackson. Go ahead, Margaret.
Thank you, Senator Wachowski. And again, thank you for putting this on. I think these types of town halls are so important during these unprecedented times because small businesses are afraid. There's a lot of fear there. But let me just share with you what the Alameda County Small Business Development Center has to offer. We are hosted by the Ohlone Community College. We always like to recognize our host because it affords us to be able to bring this program to you and also the Small Business Administration. So some of the things that we're doing right now is helping businesses pivot. And so right now many of these small businesses are receiving their EIDL and PPP resources or maybe third-party resources, and the question becomes, where do we go from here? How do we spend this money correctly? Sometimes some of the small businesses are kind of hanging on to those resources. And we're able to help you there at Alameda County SBDC. So if you're an Alameda small business, you can apply for services at acsbdc.org. If you are not currently a client, if you're currently a client, then you can reach out to us and or reach out to your advisor for specific granular support. We'll help you. You do not have to go it alone. Those businesses that are, and unfortunately, we're going to lose some businesses. But you don't have to even go that alone. We can help with fire sales and really maybe give some ideas on pivots. Maybe there's an adjustment there that we can support. And thirdly, we're adjusting how many hours of webinars and workshops we're going to give you because this is a critical time for you to reskill, get certifications, get information. You may not feel like I don't have time to learn right now. This is a great time to learn because we are going to come out of this, and anything that you can add to your arsenal or your discipline. And as Senator Wachowski, and I'm not sure where he got all that information about me, I was kind of chuckling here, it adds value to what you're doing in your business and your company. We want you to stay in business. We want to support you. You do not have to go it alone. Use the SBDC and the resources that they have. We have skills advisors, and they're skilled in sometimes in very specific areas. So we have specialists, and we have generalists, and we have generalists that also are specializing in specific areas. So don't be afraid to reach out and be concerned about maybe information that you're sharing. We're under a non-disclosure agreement. So anything that you share with us is private, and we're going to give you the absolute best help. And so with our webinars, we're going to see 20 to 30 hours worth of webinars. Ohlone College is now doing, we're partnering with their business department to do non-credit courses that include all kinds of business foundations, management, QuickBooks, things that you can really sharpen your skills. And then we're embedded in the Career Center, so there's opportunities there that you can pick up resources to rehire. So they have an OJT program. So we're very connected and resourceful. So just talk to us, and we can support that. And in terms of some of the relief out there, check with your city, because all of them are doing something different. And I do have a document that Berkeley put together that has this great tool of resources that you could get throughout Silicon Valley, Santa Clara County, Alameda County, that may provide some additional support, and includes the SBDCs and some of the other corporations that are doing things for small businesses. So stay connected, and if you want to get that document, I'll give you some information at the end of this event as we do our closing remarks. Thank you again, Senator Wachowski, for the opportunity.
Well, thank you, Margaret. Next, we'll welcome Dennis King, who's the director of the Silicon Valley Small Business Development Center. Dennis serves as the director of the SBDC Hispanic Satellite Silicon Valley, as well as the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce Silicon Valley. He's a proud San Jose State and Foothill College graduate. Under his leadership, a first-in-the-nation pilot, SBDC Hispanic Satellite Center was founded and earned top economic impact awards in the Northern California region. He has been an active member in U.S. politics on local, state, and national levels. Dennis has worked in sales, marketing, communication for a number of startup companies in Silicon Valley. He was a general contractor and president of an energy conservation service company and editor of a local regional magazine, a former marketing director and high-tech editor of another local magazine, and a contributing writer to other publications. Please welcome Dennis King. Dennis?
Thank you, Senator. Somebody on your team has done their homework. I'm very surprised and pleased. Thank you. But, you know, most of all, thank you for your years of championship of the small businesses of our area. I mean, you've got a strong track record of support, and now in this crisis, you're really stepping up. So thank you for that. Margaret did a good job describing what SBDC, Small Business Development Centers, are about. So she's well prepared and vigorously supports the small business in Alameda County. We do likewise in Santa Clara County. We're good partners on a wide variety of ways. Our local partner here in Santa Clara County is the County of Santa Clara, and of course both of us work with the state of California as well. The whole purpose of an SBDC program is to provide you, the entrepreneur, with information and resources to help you start, sustain, and grow your businesses. And we do that usually through one-on-one advising. We both have a strong pool of business advisors, most of whom own or had owned their own business. And in our case, they certainly reflect the communities that we serve. So our business advisors conducted our one-on-one sessions and workshops in English, Spanish, Vietnamese, Mandarin, Portuguese, and other languages. So they certainly, I think, do a wonderful job not just advocating for small businesses, but reflecting the community that we all serve. Access to capital has been one of our core areas. So we work with quite a number of traditional funding sources like banks and credit unions. We also deal with alternative funders. And I think it's important for our small business owners realize that when we do that, we don't represent the bank. We need to understand the bank, but we represent them, and we tend to be an advocate for them. Margaret mentioned that there are some small cities that are some local cities are doing programs. You should really take advantage of that while you can. There are at least a half a dozen cities in Santa Clara County that have their own grant programs or loan programs. We're working very closely, for example, with the city of Sunnyvale that just launched the program. It's a $1.3 million program to actually give money away. So all these years I've been saying there's no free money. Well, guess what? There really is free money if you're serious about staying in business and if you're in Sunnyvale. So I think one of the first places that you can check, either through Margaret or with me, but to check with your local cities as well to see what are they doing to support their small businesses. And you should take advantage of it because those funding vehicles are really dedicated to help them continue to be in business. But like everything, they're fleeting, so you do need to respond pretty quickly. Now, we also, and Margaret started to talk about that, we also provide other resources. We have now partnered with Kiva. Kiva is crowdfunded. The good thing about Kiva, among other things, is it doesn't require you to be a citizen. That's not an issue. What really is the issue is what's your story? What are you doing to make your business successful? What are you doing to make your community a better community with whatever activities that you're planning? So, again, that's a classic example of access to resources that you wouldn't normally find in a traditional funding source. But we have access and advocate for you on behalf of that. Margaret started to talk about the webinars or workshops. We do a lot of that because, obviously, access to customers is even more important than access to capital. I mean, without customers, you're out of business. So workshops could be as basic as, how do you get your customers to come back? You know, they've been off for a couple of months. I'm sure they want to get back to you. So how is that going to happen? What's the new normal going to look like? And we've spent a lot of time with restaurants trying to pivot them to get ready for whatever and whenever this new normal is going to be. So we also do that with retail outlets. So if you're in those categories, as Margaret said, you're not alone. We can help you. The best bet is let us know. And if you're in Santa Clara County, call us, 408-248-4800, 248-4800. Give us a call. We're on your side. Thank you, Senator.
No. Hey, small businesses, what's your story? It all sounds promising news. Let's go to our final panelist, which is Julie Klaus. Now, Julie is the District Director of the Small Business Administration San Francisco District Office, where she oversees delivery of the small business programs and services within the 14 counties of Northern California. Now, prior to coming to San Francisco, she was Deputy Director, District Director at the Small Business Administration's Washington Metropolitan Area District. Now, that's a big portfolio in our country with approximately 1,000 firms receiving $4 to $6 billion in contracts annually. And prior to joining the district office, she was the chief marketing and outreach attorney with the Small Businesses Office of General Counsel, handling issues impacting its outreach efforts, including external agency partnerships, technology, and the use of media. She is started her career in 1997 as the public affairs specialist with the Michigan District Office. And prior to joining the SBA, she worked for the Michigan Small Business Development Center at the international trade specialist, where she co-authored Trade Secrets, the Export Answer Book. Julie's a graduate of the Excellence in Government Fellowship Program and the President's Management Council Fellowship Program, and has a BA in International Studies from Bradley University and an MBA and JD from Wayne State University. She's an advocate for colon cancer awareness, and let's welcome Julia Klaus.
Good morning. Thank you, Senator. I haven't had anybody read my full resume in a while, so thank you. I appreciate you and your team creating this forum today, inviting the commissioner and my colleagues at the SBDC to talk to the business community. This is certainly probably the most scary, frustrating, you know, nail-biting time for small businesses right now, and we really do encourage you to take advantage of some of the things we have to offer, or let us help you find other resources that might be a better fit, as both Dennis and Margaret alluded to. So everything that SBA provides can be broken down into really four buckets. Our normal servicing being the access to capital, access to government contracts, and then also the counseling and training side of things. And then our fourth bucket is our disaster relief programs. So we've kind of combined some disaster relief and financial programs right now, provide some special COVID-19 related programming. Of the different programs, there are several that are still available, so I'll just quickly highlight three of them. One is our debt relief program. This has not gotten a lot of publicity, but I think it's really a great benefit for anybody who has existing SBA debt of any form, whether it's from our 7A program, our 504 program, or even microlending. And what SBA is doing is paying 6 months of your principal and interest payments on existing current debt. So if your lender hasn't reached out to you already about this, please you be proactive and reach out to your lender and make sure that if you have existing SBA debt, you are enrolled in this program to take advantage of this benefit. The two main loan programs that we have, the Paycheck Protection Program and the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program, or EIDL, are both still available. The EIDL, I will point out, is a limited offering right now. Only agricultural businesses are able to apply for the EIDL loan right now, and that is because prior to the most recent round of legislation, agricultural businesses were prohibited from applying. They were not eligible. The new legislation made them eligible, so now they have a window of opportunity to apply for this program. Anybody who has applied previously, though, we are continuing to process those applications. I know this program is not moving nearly as quickly as everyone would like, but every day I am hearing about more and more loans being processed, and it is a slow process, but it is moving forward. The PPP program, however, though, is still available. There is about $100 billion actually still left in the PPP program. So for any business who hadn't taken advantage of that yet, there's still plenty of time for you to apply. This is a program through commercial lenders and other non-traditional lenders. SBA, also our resource partners, would be happy to try to connect you with one of these lenders if you'd like to take advantage of this program. The one thing that I also wanted to point out that Margaret and Dennis, they're great resource partners of SBA, but their services are also free of charge. So right now, everyone's cash flow is strapped or non-existent for some people, so you don't need any additional expenses. And the great thing about all of these resources is that they are available at no charge to you. So I come from a counseling and training background, so I definitely, when I'm out talking about the programs, I say the free business advising is probably the most invaluable thing that SBA offers because there's always questions, there's always additional resources, there's always solutions, and using the resource advisor or the business advisors is a great way to help you figure this all out, especially right now when you've got so many tough decisions and so many different things to keep track of right now and a lot of information flying at you. Please let us help you. So with that, I will turn it back over to you.
All right. Well, now let's hear from the public. Thank you all for submitting your questions via email. We'll try to answer as many questions as we can today, but if we're not able to answer your question during the town hall, please know that your question will be answered directly from the relevant organization. Now, the town hall is being recorded, and we will make the recording available on the Department of Insurance's website. Also available after the event will be a summary notes of the town hall with contact and resource information. So let's get started. Our first question is for the SBA's Julie Klaus. Fabrice asks, I am self-employed and am the sole proprietor of my LLC with no employees. I had to refrain from paying my 2019 taxes in April because of the pandemic. With the first quarter of 2020, I now owe over $16,000 in taxes. Although business has been slow, I have been able to pay most expenses so far, but taxes are the biggest burden. I was approved for an SBA loan. May I use this loan to pay the taxes? Julia?
Yes. So by SBA loan, I'm not certain if Fabrice is referring to the EIDL program or to the PPP program. But under PPP, since it's very narrowly focused on payroll and just a few other non-payroll expenses, you cannot use PPP proceeds to pay for taxes if you want to have the loan forgiven. But on the EIDL side, if the loan was a EIDL loan, yes, you may use those proceeds to pay your taxes. That's a working capital loan to help you cover all your business expenses. So yes, you may pay your business taxes out of the EIDL loan proceeds.
Oh, very good. Now, Brian, question number two. Brian asked for Commissioner Lara, you issued a bulletin requiring insurance companies to refund premiums. Will that be for my total monthly payment, and when will I get that refund?
So that's a great question. It's not going to be a total reimbursement. It'll be a percentage of your premium, and you should be getting those refunds as soon as possible. I think I have my staff on with the legal team that's been working on this issue.
Yes,
Alec, are you on?
Yeah, okay, I'm here. Thanks.
Go ahead.
So the amount that you get back will vary by company and policy. And in many cases, the reduction or refund will be a percentage of your premiums, your March and April premiums, and now May as these stay-at-home rules continue. So it won't be 100% refund of your premium. The reductions will be tied to the change in risk during the months Californians are subject to the stay-at-home orders. And we've already seen a number of insurance companies announce premium reductions in credits. The commissioner's bulletin directed all insurers to make an initial premium refund to all adversely impacted California policyholders as soon as possible, but no later than 120 days from the date of the bulletin. And that deadline is coming up. It's August 11th, 2020. And this directive applies to the following lines of insurance: private passenger auto, commercial auto, workers' compensation, commercial multi-peril, commercial liability, medical malpractice, and any other line of coverage where the measures of risk have become substantially overstated. So recognizing the unique nature of each insurer's policyholder base and the insurance coverage they offer, we directed each insurance company to propose the best way to immediately return premium to policyholders, and we directed each insurer to report back to the department how they're going to fulfill this directive within 60 days of the bulletin, and that deadline is coming up, June 12th. So in persons who have not received premium relief in spite of a reduction of the covered risks under a policy are strongly encouraged to contact their insurance company. And if you're not satisfied with the answers you get or have other questions, please contact us at the department, either by phone or on our website. And the phone number is 1-800-927-4357, and our website address is www.insurance.ca.gov. And finally, Commissioner Allotta has requested that the insurance companies extend the grace period to pay your premium. So if you're having trouble paying your premium, you can contact your insurance company and inquire about the commissioner's grace period notice. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Our third question comes from Joseph, who asks, as an owner of a group fitness studio, we believe people should continue to work out and eat right more now than ever. While it is important to shelter in place, and there are some inherent challenges to the immune system to simply staying indoors, I would like to know where you deem fitness and health on importance and what action steps are being taken to ensure we open up quickly and safely. Well, Joseph, I'll take this question since I'm the member of a gym in Fremont and a member up here in Sacramento, and together with Commissioner Laura, we are dedicated enthusiasts of activity and sport. The governor's office just announced in its guidelines, or will be announcing, regarding the safe reopening of the state's gym and fitness centers. Now, the governor does deem this important, and the state public health officer, Dr. Sonia Angel, the state coronavirus economic task force chair, Tom Steyer, and six California-based fitness industry representatives joined the governor recently to discuss efforts to establish the reopening guidelines and how those in the industry are altering their practices and protocols to keep customers safe and members safe as well. For fitness centers to reopen, their home counties, which is either Alameda or Santa Clara for us, must submit a 12-page application, which is called the Local Variance Attestation, which details the criteria to assess county COVID-19 stability and safe readiness. I'll be sure my office keeps you posted on the announcement. I remember before COVID-19, one of my gyms had every third machine three machines were cut off, and then the fourth machine was open. So we were distancing at that time. All right, let's go to question number four, and this is for Insurance Commissioner Lara. Stephanie asks, I want to know whether workers' comp insurance companies will be required by California to adjust their calculated premiums to take into account that many companies under these new COVID-19 programs are paying employees who are not doing any work. They are getting hours and hours of sick pay in order for their employers to pay, to both give them an income and have them available to come back when reopening arrives. There's absolutely no liability on the part of insurance companies regarding this type of payroll. But under the normal policy computations, worker compensation costs for these wages could be a very large amount that the employers will have to come up with. This seems like a windfall for big insurance. Commissioner?
Oops, sorry about that. Thank you. That's a great question. You know, the bulletin that I mentioned earlier require insurers to reduce workers' compensation premiums for March, April, and May to reflect the reduced risk and of loss resulting from employees that either not working or working at jobs with a lower risk of loss. Businesses that are closed or have drastically reduced payrolls may see their workers' compensation insurance costs reduced in the short term, and many orders for premium rebates include workers' compensation insurance for that reason. I would say under the current workers' compensation regulations, payrolls include payments to employees who are furloughed, even though they're not working, which means that employers' rates would remain the same as if the employees were still in the workplace performing their regular duties. And so as I was mentioning last week, my department held a hearing to consider proposed emergency regulations, which would make changes intended to reflect that lower risk for worker injury in light of the pandemic. And I will be reviewing those regulations and determine whether they are consistent with my overall mandate to reduce the premium to reflect that reduced risk. So we are keeping an eye on it. We want to make sure that these emergency regs keep in consideration the falling of the risk, or the decline in the risk, I should say, for so many of these businesses. And to make sure that it reflects this current reality that we're living in and not something pre-COVID where people were paying an adequate premium that really no longer reflects in these last couple months. So we're working on it, and we really appreciate that for that question.
No, very good. Our fifth question comes from Barry and Holly. My wife and I are owners, without employees, of commercial and residential rental properties in Fremont, and they are the primary source of our income. We have both commercial and residential tenants that are not paying their rent and utilities. What source of relief are there for landlords without employees? Well, the Senate leadership here in the California legislature earlier this month unveiled new plans to provide long-term aid for struggling renters and landlords that create a $25 billion economic recovery fund. Now, the housing proposal would allow landlords to receive tax credits for rental payments missed by their tenants in exchange for promising to halt evictions. Now, tenants would be able to repay the state over 10 years for the missed rent under a voluntary program. So you get a tax credit, but you don't get any cash. We had a bill in the Housing Committee this week that would create a voluntary program, an 80-20 split, that if the landlord voluntarily agreed to accept 80% of the rent and the 20% and not go through eviction, that the 20% would be forgiven and there would be relief for the tenant with the money that the state's producing to help them. The intent is to keep the tenant's house and landlords out of foreclosure, because we realize that the landlords, many of them have mortgages to pay. Would anybody else on the panel like to add anything to that question?
This is Julie from SBA. I would just add in to watch and see, especially if SBA gets additional appropriations from Congress for our Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program and the portal is reopened for all businesses, that's a great program for landlords to apply for, because you can utilize those loan proceeds for any of your business needs, any of your working capital needs.
Okay. Our next sixth question, Tony asks to Commissioner Lara, what are my options if I do not have coverage for business losses due to the COVID-19 virus?
Thank you, Tony, for that question. If you truly don't have any business interruption coverage, you should look at the various federal, state, and local programs available through the SBA and other resources. I know Tony from my office has been receiving a number of these type of calls. Tony, did I get that right, or is there any other information that we can share?
No, you have it right, Commissioner. I would add, though, that don't just take your agent, broker, or insurance company's word that you don't have coverage for business interruption or business interruption due to the COVID-19 virus. Have the insurance company go through your policy and show you what coverages you have and show you what coverages you don't have to verify it. And if you're really not satisfied with their answer, come to us. We can take a look at it, look through your policy to make sure, you know, did you have a virus or pandemic exclusion? Did it apply to all your coverages, including business interruption coverage? Do you have other possible coverages that may exist on top of the business interruption coverage, for example, civil authority coverage that we might look at. And so if push comes to shove, file a formal claim, require the insurance company to formally respond back to you, which puts them in a position of detailing all the reasons why a claim would not be payable. And then if you are able to, then if you do come to us, we'll at least have an initial roadmap to start reviewing your case and determining whether the insurance company did the right thing and properly adjudicated your claim.
Excellent. So this question is directed at either Julie, Margaret, or Dennis. Tiffany asks, I have a question regarding establishing a small business during the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm currently unemployed and receiving unemployment benefits, which started from last month. However, this money is not enough to cover my bills. To help make a little bit more money to pay my mortgage and my bills, I'm planning to start a small business in the next few months. My question for you is, if my business set up in the next few months, would my unemployment benefits be affected or cut as well, even though I don't have any money coming in yet? Is there some kind of program such as the Self-Employment Assistance Program, SEEP, available during this time period to assist us with our survival during this tough time? Margaret, why don't you take that?
Sure, I'll take that question. Tiffany, that's a great question. And oddly enough, it's not a new question because a lot of those that are getting unemployment insurance, maybe for disability and things like that, this is quite a common question. But the state of California right now doesn't have a SEEP or SEEP program, and this question really is better responded by the Employment Development Department or the state unemployment offices, and it's a voluntary program, so it might be something that you might want to recommend or suggest that, and I think it's a great idea. I think with the SBDC and the career centers and the different resources that are out there, the unemployment office, for us to work together and support these types of programs, because it would allow us, and of course we'll help you with your small business, and we're glad to help maybe walk through some of these conversations with you, kind of handhold a little bit. But it's really voluntary by the state, and I think if we can get something like this going, I think it's great. Now, in terms of how it impacts your unemployment insurance, again, that's the employment department, right? They're gonna have you get a certain amount, and if you earn money, then you know, you have to follow their guidelines on how that's going to impact. But this type of program would mitigate some of that for you. So that's a conversation that we would love to continue with you. And you want to connect with me, you can contact me on my email, acsbdc@aloni.edu, or give us a call at 510-516-4118, or go out to our website. We want to support all small businesses, and I think this would be a great opportunity, not just for COVID-19, but for those that are disabled or can't work a lot of hours, but willing to do something maybe that's a little bit different, like starting a business, and they can, you know, adjust based on their personal situation. So thank you for the question. Very good question.
Any of the other panelists have anything to add?
No. I think Margaret did a good job.
No. Let's go on to our next question from Paul, sort of another. Paul says to Commissioner Laura, I paid my insurance and understood it included business interruption coverage. Why isn't loss of business due to the COVID-19 pandemic covered? I think that you've answered that question.
Yeah. I think the first thing, just to recap, the first thing to know is that not all policies are the same, and we would need to look at the specific policy to better understand what coverages and exclusions you have. So please contact our department, and we can help walk you through that. Again, that number is 1-800-927-4357, or you can shoot us an email at insurance.ca.gov.
Excellent. So Dustin and Andrew had a similar question in regard to housing in this era of COVID. What is the state doing to increase housing supply in the Bay Area and the state? Well, I guess hopefully we're going to do more. First, let me just start off that, you know, I've been advocate for the construction of accessory dwelling units, ADUs, because they offer so many multiple benefits to different type of people. They're affordable by design. They add density within the existing footprint of your home and backyard, and they're they can be built without any public subsidies. They also use fewer building materials and less water and energy than typical houses, and they provide another source of income from homeowners if people want to age in place and move into the ADU or have a family member. Every day, more people are recognizing that ADUs are a common sense, cost-effective way to allow homeowners to make better use of their property while helping them ease the housing shortage. I know the Bay Area Council is starting a $4 million campaign in the Bay Area to help spread the word about the opportunity for people to build an ADU. But, you know, this state, in this crisis, the state took necessary steps to prevent Californians from losing their property by implementing an eviction moratorium. However, this will not increase the supply of affordable housing for residents. So the Senate leadership is taking on a package of bills that they're looking to tackle this crisis and look for housing production. When I'm done with this phone call, I'll be going to the Senate Environmental Quality Committee to address a couple of bills that look for housing production. But just this week, Nancy Skinner up in the Berkeley Way had SB 1085, which got out of the housing committee, which would enhance the existing density bonuses by increasing the number of incentives provided to developers in exchange for providing more affordable housing. She really wants to see student housing and some moderate income housing. And Senator Wiener, always an advocate for housing, would allow local government. His Senate Bill 902 will allow local governments to pass a zoning ordinance to upzone to allow by right for up to 10 units on any parcel if they're located in a transit-rich and job-rich area or urban infill. In regard to providing housing for our homeless population, both houses of the legislature, as many will know, passed the $1 billion emergency fund in March to fight the spread of coronavirus, and California has deployed massive resources to get the vulnerable residents safely into shelter, removing regulatory barriers and securing trailers and hotels to provide immediate housing options for those at the most risk. There's a lot more to be done. Every day it seems that as we fight the COVID-19 spread and we flatten that curve, we're trying to find out other ways to increase housing and house our homeless. On the housing front, any members of the paneling have anything else to add?
I would just say, this is Margaret Jackson, Alameda County Small Business Development Director. I would really encourage you to connect with your local SBDC, whether that's in Santa Clara County with Dennis, and they do a great job out there. I used to be one of Dennis's advisors out there, and so apparently I was taught extremely well, so I'm now director here at Alameda County SBDC. But look into your county and connect with an SBDC, and don't go it alone. You know, keep things moving, but in that, you know, partner up with an organization like SBDC to help you move your business forward and come up with ideas and things that you might not think about because you're a little bit more emotional than what we would be. We bring to the table a little bit more objectivity, so you can connect with us and apply for services. If you're an Alameda County small business, at www.acsbdc.org. And our phone number is 510-516-4118. And Dennis, you might want to share your contact information as well for Santa Clara County businesses.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Mark.
Well, let's, we've come to the end of our session. So before we close, let me turn over the mic to everybody. Commissioner Laura, you have some closing remarks.
Thank you. And all I can add to the housing issue is that when I was in the Senate, I supported your bill and continue to support your bill. again, just thank you, Senator Wachowski, for everything you've done for our consumers. I want to just encourage business owners to call us. We're here to assist you. We're here to provide a resource. We understand that insurance is oftentimes vague and very difficult to understand, but we have insurance experts Monday through Friday willing to walk you through whatever issue you might have, or just if you need a clarification, or if you want to file a claim that we can then follow up on. Again, that number is 1-800-927-4357, or you can reach us at insurance.ca.gov. Thank you so much, Senator Wachowski, and thank you to the panel for everything you're doing to make sure that we keep business growing and thriving in California.
Thank you, Commissioner. Now, SBA's Julie Klaus, you have closed?
Yes, thank you so much, Senator, again, for this forum today. And I just would like to let businesses know the best way to reach myself and my team right now is through our email box, and that is sfomail@sba.gov. And you can also find more information on our website and look at our resource guide. That is sba.gov/ca/sf. Thank you.
Excellent. Dennis King, go ahead.
Thank you, Senator. I think you've heard it from all of us, is that you're not alone. So if you want to start your business, if you want to restart your business, you have resources right here who can help you. It's truly said that when you succeed, the community succeeds. When you succeed, we all succeed. We're really here for you. If you're in Santa Clara County, give us a call, 408-248-4800, 248-4800. We're here for you. Thank you, Senator.
Yes, and Margaret, you can close.
Thank you, Senator. And again, thank you again for doing this. This is so critical in these times, and everyone that took your time to come out. And again, I would just echo, connect with us. We can, you know, we're often asked, what does an SBDC do? And we really do everything in between the goal that you're trying to achieve. We work with you. We don't do the work for you, but we do roll up our sleeves with you, and we get into the granular with you to make sure that we can help you the best that we can to help you reach your goals. So, again, thank you for coming on this call, and I appreciate the opportunity to do it.
No, let me thank everybody who tuned in today and also all our panelists. I think you got a flavor of what the legislature is doing, what the insurance commissioner is doing to fight for your premium reductions and the truth in what you're buying, the federal government small business programs that are available to help us in this difficult time. You know, small business people are risk takers, and we want to make sure, we want to encourage risk takers and rekindle that enthusiasm that got you into this small business arena. So we hope the event provided you with some useful resources and context that you can apply for financial assistance at this time. If we did not have time to get to your question today, my office is going to be working with the Department of Insurance and the other agencies to make sure that your inquiries are answered. This is a we will get out of it. As I said, we are California. You have the backbone and the spirit of small businesses. It's exactly what makes this state exemplary. We're called the Golden State for a reason. No other states have that moniker. So once again, thank you so much to Commissioner Lara, to our panel, to all of you that joined us today. Please be safe and have a wonderful weekend. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using the AT&T Executive Teleconference Service. You may now disconnect.